This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The case against Richard Allen, the man that's accused of being the Delphi murderer. We are learning more and more as we inch closer to an actual trial date. One of the most recent things that we learned, more than 60 confessions, allegedly, from Richard Allen to many people during 22 months in custody. There's a lot to play with here, a lot to examine. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. 60 confessions, but keep in mind, when he was giving those more than 60 confessions, it's reported he was eating paper. He was eating his own feces. Not in a good state, in solitary confinement, 23 hours a day, going from living a life with his family, working at CVS, to now this. You're being accused of murdering these two kids, and this is where you're at. I don't know. I mean, how well does something like this hold up? And 60 seems like an inordinate amount of confessions to be making.
It does, until you get more of the context. Again, boy, this case is just so all over the place, isn't it, Tony?
Yes.
So here's what we still have. We still have a crime scene that does not look like a single person murder crime scene. And when it comes to the type of murder, so you have the hypothesis here is that you have single white, well, a white male murdering two female girls. Typically in those types of situations, they've either been stalked or they're targets of opportunity for a sexual predator. Mm-hmm. None of the other telltale signs of stalking or sexual predator are there because they weren't sexually assaulted. So it begs the question that he doesn't quite fit the profile that is typically for that type of murder. Mm-hmm. But we have 60 confessions. So let's look at those 60 confessions. And I had to dig deep on this one, too.
Yeah.
So going for persuaded false confessions tend to result from long and intense interrogations that may include repeated accusations that the suspect committed the crime, adamant discrediting of the suspect's denials, fabrication of evidence, and eventually an offer to resolve any cognitive dissonance. And it's the continued suffering mentally, emotionally, and physically that it tends to induce those confessions. And I think 22% of those that were false confessions were mentally challenged or in a state of depression, which there's a claim there that, and 10% did have a diagnosis of mental illness. So, I mean, there's a lot for defense, I think, to play with to discredit those confessions if they go down that road.
Well, I mean, you think about it and you're sitting there, you know, 23 hours a day in a very, very small cell. Yeah. And you're being taunted by the guards. We've heard reports of that. He wasn't even really allowed to meet with his attorneys very well. It was like literally through a little door. I mean, he was denied a lot of his rights, like without a doubt at this point. Yep. They're finally just now moving him to a jail facility outside of the prison facility. If you're there and you feel like there's really no way out, and I don't know how you would feel there's any way out after a certain amount of time, I think you'd say almost probably anything to get out of that situation. And I do wonder, you know, what was being said to him? You know, what was it? Was he being taunted by some of these guards who have the Odinism patches and all of that on? You know, just admit it, just say it, and you'll get out. Just tell us, tell it, you know, I mean, that's conjecture, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily constitute a real confession, though, either.
I know. And also, I mean, he knew some facts and details, apparently, in those confessions that only the killer would know. Mm-hmm. But then on other occasions, the confessions contain things that were complete fabrications as well. This is all over the board. So this is definitely one of those cases where we're going to have to wait to go to see where the facts lead us and the details, because it's really all over.
As an investigator, how do you weigh that when, you know, on one hand, they're saying things that, well, that actually is accurate to the crime scene, and others, it's like that has nothing to do with this. I mean, does one kind of negate the other, where it's almost like if you're trying to get out of that situation, you're going to throw anything at the wall that sticks. And yes, some of those details may seem to be like they are the killer, but the other half are not at all.
So one of the reasons why it's a great question, Tony, one of the reasons why I'm not jumping on the he's guilty bandwagon with all these confessions mm-hmm. is because it doesn't fit his behavior arc.
Yeah.
Not just his behavior arc, but it's not fitting the behavior arc of someone like him. It's not this type of murder. Again, I just, as we were talking before the show started, you know, I consume a lot of information to try to keep informing myself, keep refreshing my memory on all things abnormal psych.
Yeah.
And I just reread John Douglas's book, Obsession. Mm-hmm. And in Obsession, he really reemphasizes and goes down the horrible dark road of sexual predators, serial rapists, and stalkers. And all the behaviors that those individuals have when they're preying on their victims. And Richard Allen does not have those types of behaviors that are fitting that type of profile. Again, we don't have all the details. We don't have it from what we're seeing from social media and what we're seeing being put out there. And a lot of people are under gag orders for this. And so we're not seeing everything. But from what we're seeing, like a stalker, stalkers generally so fixate on their individuals that they're going to eventually escalate to the point where they no longer fit that fantasy they have in their lives of that person, and they burst that fantasy, so they resort to violence to overcome that fantasy. A lot of times they're journaling about them, they're fixated on them, and there seems to be no connection between these two girls and Richard Allen beforehand from mm-hmm. anything we're seeing. So the stalker thing is out there. If it's going to be a sexual assault, well, there's no evidence of sexual assault here. And also he doesn't have a pattern of that behavior either, because usually sexual assault is, you don't go from 0 to 100. 0 is like, hey, I'm fine with women, and tomorrow I'm actually going to rape someone and then kill them. There's no arc there that brings him to that. So that's why the confessions that they're alleging he has don't fit any of those behaviors that we're seeing throughout this. And then when you have the crime scene itself just doesn't fit a typical murder scene of mm-hmm. one individual killing two girls for apparently no motive. That's what I'm having a hard time with. I don't see a real motive between him killing these girls.
Want more of the podcast without the ads?
Then hit subscribe to the True Crime Today Premium Plus channel on Apple Podcasts.
Try it now for 3 days, absolutely free.
You'll get access to all of our extended advance ad-free episodes instantly,
so you can binge without the break. True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Search and subscribe now on Apple Podcasts.